In the dynamic world of private LTE networks for utilities, it's all about a collective approach toward grid modernization solutions. Join us alongside leading utilities, including Ameren, Evergy, Lower Colorado River Authority, San Diego Gas Electric, and Xcel Energy, who are driving the evolution of utility private wireless networks with Anterix. Together with our 100-plus member ecosystem and the Utility Strategic Advisory Board, we're de-risking private LTE investments. We're not just providing solutions. We're pioneering a cleaner, safer, more affordable, and secure energy future through 900 megahertz powered private LTE networks. By joining us, you're part of a force driving innovation, accelerating returns, and future-proofing the entire ecosystem. It's more than spectrum. It's about evolving together. Don't miss out. Embrace the power of collective action, ensuring a sustainable utility private LTE evolution.
To learn more, visit Anterix.com.
Good day and welcome. I am UTC President and CEO Rusty Williams, and thank you for meeting us at The Intersection, sponsored by Anterix. This month's episode is entitled Membership Has Its Privileges. For those of you listening for the first time, welcome to The Intersection. And for those of you who've been through this intersection before, welcome back. Today, I am honored to have with us UTC's Senior Vice President of Membership and Meetings, Carnell Thomas. Carnell's been a part of the UTC organization for over 30 years, and everyone knows him from his work with the members of the organization, as well as his work supporting the various conferences that UTC hosts. Carnell, welcome to The Intersection. And just in case there's someone here that may not know about you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, Rusty, and thank you for having me. And I would like to congratulate you again on being appointed UTC's president and CEO. I'm a simple fellow. I'm from a small town in Louisiana. I'm in Lafourche Parish on Bayou Lafourche called Thibodeau. It's about 60 miles west of New Orleans and 70 miles east of Baton Rouge. So after attending LSU, I became a United States Marine, and I served on the personal staff of the Commandant of the United States Marine Corps during the Gulf War. Since that, after leaving the Marine Corps, I joined UTC in the Frequency Coordination Department. And since that time, I've had several opportunities at the association to include my current position.
Yeah, well, first of all, Carnell, thanks for your service to the country. I appreciate that. And it sounds like your story and mine, albeit the stops might have been a little different. We have a similar history, right? From small towns in the South, had lots of opportunities as we got out into the world. And I think it just proves that you never know where life's going to take you, right?
Absolutely, Rusty. And I think it's been a fascinating journey for me to travel and to experience UTC firsthand as a staff member.
Okay. Well, as we think about the title of this month's podcast, as I introduced it as we were coming in, Membership Has Its Privileges. I think we all remember that advertising campaign by a large credit card company. We won't give them any credit. But we remember that title, right? So yes. If I apply that title, Membership Has Its Privileges, to UTC, what does it mean to you for the memberships to have privileges? What kind of privileges are we talking about?
Well, first of all, Rusty, the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about privilege is the privilege to engage with the intellect and the intelligence that our members, both core and technology partners, bring to the association.
I like having that phrase. I like that phrase, engage with the intellect. I like that.
Yeah, Rusty, it's an opportunity for us to have mind share on critical industry issues, to come up with solutions and ways to work together to improve energy delivery in our country.
Yeah. So, you know, when you think about the various members, they're all different types, sizes, flavors, different parts of the country. Everybody has their own unique needs. So how do you sort of, point the organization to help all this diverse membership?
I think the avenue that allows us to support the diverse membership of UTC is our committees, divisions, and sections. Participating in those groups allows those focused conversations to occur and solutions to be developed.
Yeah, that's all what it's all about. And we keep talking about it internally since I've been here this 10 or 11 weeks so far that I've been part of this organization, about the value that the organization provides to the membership. And that's always a focus for us. And that's just one of those ways, right? We called it privileges just to kind of hook the title, it's about the value that is available to our membership, and, you know, just for being a part and being engaged in the organization. So I know you do a lot of stuff, membership meetings. I mean, that by itself is a lot of things. If there is such a thing as a normal day for you, tell us what a normal day looks like for you.
Rusty, as you know, I start my day very early. The alarm goes off around 4 o'clock. And the first impediment I try to overcome is whether to put my feet on the floor before I grab my cell phone to start answering emails and responding to members' needs. So once I get past that conundrum and I work my way to my desk, I spend time first evaluating who needs me on my A game today. What are the key objectives or goals that I want to achieve in the day, by reviewing my schedule, looking at my goals for the year, for the week, for the month, and evaluating where my staff is and what are the key things that they're working on and how can I contribute to their success in meeting their goals for the day or for the week. So a typical day begins with the evaluation of the responsibilities, then working with the individual staff members on their key priorities, and of course, serving the members, returning members' calls, emails, and supporting the members in the best way that I can.
Yeah, it's our jobs are not really any different philosophically than anybody else's jobs, right?
To be
successful, you know, you got to have certain characteristics. You got to have the passion for what you do. You know, if you don't really care, then you're not going to do nearly as good a job. You've got to have the work ethic to put in what you need to put in to be successful. And this idea of serving, you know, whether we use the phrase servant leadership, but whatever we do, it's about serving our customers or our organizations. And when you wrap all that together, then that's what it's all about. It's just what you happen to do is within the UTC structure for our members, but it would be no different than anybody else listening to this podcast and doing their job, whether an engineer or a manager or a salesperson or whatever they happen to be. It's all the same pretty much, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Rusty. And I have a service mentality, and I get a super satisfaction when I know that I've helped a member, a colleague, a friend answer a question, point them to a person that can provide them with a solution. There's a energy that comes from being there for a person in need and then helping them work through a situation and coming to a positive conclusion that motivates me. And I see that permeating through the membership as well as through the staff that we have at UTC.
Yeah. And when we do it right and we pour everything we got into it, that's a full day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I don't quite start at 4 a.m, but I start pretty early and go pretty late, you know, if necessary to take care of business and take care of our members, but it's a full day for sure. Now, you and I have been involved in UTC for a long time. You were talking about it in the early 90s, coming to work as a frequency coordinator, which is interesting as well. And I've been around the organization myself as a utility member, starting in the late 80s and going through, you know, current time. When you look back over that time, we'll just say 30 years or so, 25, 30 years, we know a lot's happened. Right. We've had economic mountains, peaks, and we've had economic valleys. We've had things like 9/11, and we've had things like a pandemic that interrupted the world. When you look back, 25, 30 years ago, how has UTC's world changed over that time?
Rusty, that's been a lot. So when I started at UTC, and you probably did the same thing, typewriters were on the desk, Amazon only sold books, and the internet was a new thing. So a lot's changed. And for us to be in the day and age where we can talk about utility workers working remotely has been a paradigm shift. So the industry has evolved and changed in so many different ways. I can remember when the Utelco boom was a big thing for the association or for the industry, and Utilities were leveraging their infrastructure for non-rate-based opportunities, such as internet service providers and things of that nature. So, and going through the dot-com boom, one thing that remains the same that I've seen through all these years is the resilience of the industry, the technology partners that support it, and UTC as an association. Change is good, and I think that the changes in the evolution of the industry allows UTC to become a more diverse organization as we serve our members and address key industry issues.
Yeah, when you think back through that history, I mentioned a couple of things, but you know, some of the specifics I didn't. Things that UTC had to either navigate themselves or help members navigate. You mentioned the tech bust in 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. I mean, the world was coming to an end, you know, as we were going through that, we thought. Yeah, and I think you hit on it as you were winding down there. It's not about how we do what we do. It's about what we do.
Yes.
So, you know, looking at the value we can bring to the membership, whatever, you know, those tidbits are. I don't care if I'm doing it face-to-face or we're doing it over some sort of video call or, you know, however. It's not the how. We've got to adapt to the environment, which I think UTC historically has done, but it's about staying connected and continuing to provide that flow of value. So, you know, again, thinking back and we think current about the organization, there's a lot that goes on within UTC, right?
Yes.
Once you start peeling the layers back or pull the curtain back, you see that there's a lot of activity going on, a lot of things we do for the members. As you think about that, what's the one thing that we do, that one value we can provide to our members that just they either don't know it all or don't seem to extract the full value out of it?
It's engagement. It's I think the membership really should realize that engagement is the key to recognizing the full value the association provides, not only to the individual, but to their organization and the industry. Being proactive, communicating, whether it's through a committee, writing an article for the journal, presenting at an in-person event, sitting in a webinar, that level of engagement helps open the door to the full value the association provides, as well as access to the thought leadership and the intellect of the membership that we have as a whole.
So who is responsible for that engagement? Cornell, you know, we can have as a staff and as an organization, we can put on the world's greatest conference. We mm-hmm. can put on have the world's greatest speakers show up. But how do we help initiate and drive that engagement, do you think? If that's a challenge and something that people aren't understanding, you know, to the level we think, you know, that they should, I mean, what can we do about that?
I think our leadership has been fantastic in communicating the value in their organization first and foremost, and then with their peers within their service territory or within their region of the country. And I think UTC is getting better and more prolific at communicating how important it is to engage with the association on several different levels, whether it's through our advocacy, through our publications, through our in-person events, or just one-on-one conversation like we're doing today. But it all begins with the leadership at the board level and the executive committee level, and bringing folks, like-minded folks together.
Yeah. And for me personally, being involved in the organization in the early and mid parts of my career, I mean, through that engagement process, you know, that was incubated through, you know, some UTC activity, I made relationships with people both professionally and personally. There, mm-hmm. there are people that I know now and know spouses, know about children, people I can call to encourage when I hear that things are not going well, people that call me to either mm-hmm. congratulate me for something or commiserate with me over something. So while it is a professional organization and we need those professional relationships through that engagement that you're talking about, we need, I think, also that one-on-one interaction, that network or that web of relationships that whenever somebody comes up, this is what I love. I've heard the phrase one time, one of the best things you could do is to introduce your friends to your friends.
Yes.
And so by having this web of relationships, call it networking, if we like the generic term better, you know, if somebody calls me and says, hey, do you know somebody that fill in the blank? Or do you know someone at fill in the blank? Then having been around you, and you're the same way, I think, of being around as long as we have, we know a lot of people, right? And so we love to connect people together. And that's part of our job is trying to foster those relationships.
Rusty, I often like to say matchmaking is a good example of that. So I spend a lot of my day over the years. It's always been that way. Folks will call and say, Cornel, I know you know somebody at this, that, and the other. Here's my problem. Here's my situation and everything else. So before the online dating services and all those came to be a thing, there was me. And I was matchmaking members with solutions and solution providers with members who have needs. So it's one of the portions of my job that I cherish the most is having that level of engagement with members and connecting them with solution providers or solution providers looking for members who have needs. So matchmaking is one of the key phrases, the thing that I love most about this job at UTC.
Yeah. And it's not a burden to us either, right? I mean, I have similar mindsets that we think that's part of our job.
Mm-hmm.
But even without, you know, that being our job, then, you know, we like to do that just in general. We want to help people. We want to connect people, you know, and help, you know, and establish, you know, that this network around us. And we will, more times than not, we get residual value out of that as well. But that's not the driving factor. The driving factor is trying to help people. So, you know, that's the one thing. If anybody, you know, that's listening takes anything out of what you and I are saying here, it's that. It's the idea of being engaged, you know, leaning in, if you like that phrase better, of being involved. It's okay to volunteer. We love volunteers. It's a volunteer organization. It's okay to raise your hand and say, you know what, I got an idea, or I've got the time to help with this thing. And don't be afraid to do that, right? I mean, just get involved. You tell us what you want.
Absolutely, Rusty. I think that communication is the key. I mean, no pun intended. I know we're a communication organization, but communication is the key. I don't have ESP. I can't read your mind. I need you to tell me what's your concerns. Where are your pain points? How can I help you? And selfishly, I should say, there's so much I learn in those engagements, through those conversations about how I can get better at my position, how I can better serve the membership, how the organization can better provide solutions and meet the needs of the membership as an organization. So that engagement, that conversation, that first call to me or to you to connect with someone is where we get better as a group, as an organization.
And that's one of my kind of mantras in life, and that could be a topic for another podcast one day, but you never stop learning. You never think you're there. Like, you know, this whole process is a journey. The life's a journey. We continue to learn and we want to get better, and we know we don't know everything. So, you know, Cornel, when we look back, I don't want to spend too much time looking back, but our history is what's influenced us.
Absolutely.
When you look back, what's that one special memory that you've got that comes to mind when you think about your time at UTC?
Wow, Rusty, what a great question. There's been so many achievements, milestones for me as a person that it's kind of difficult to narrow it down. I can sit here and talk about watching people like yourself go through your progression through the association from being chair to now being CEO as a high level for me. I can think about when the association bestowed the Dondonville Award on me as the, which is the highest honor that the association gives to its members. But one of the memories that really brings home the value of membership and engagement, we were snowed in for a strategic planning meeting in Washington, D.C. in 2014. Several of the board members and were there. And for me to observe the collaboration, the working together to address the situation of how do I get out of here and get home, and the mind share, and watching the members work together. And I saw the passion for each other and the respect for each other and the and how work the utilities working together. And I liken it to the mutual aid when a disaster happens, you know, how the utilities support other utilities and send crews in to help restore. That's what I saw. So that's one of the memories that reminds me of the value that this association provides to the industry that goes beyond just the day-to-day stuff that we do. But that mutual aid is what I'm really trying to emphasize, that there's a brotherhood, sisterhood in this industry that brings us together and keep us working to serve our communities.
That's that utility mentality, right? Mm-hmm. People outside of that industry may not appreciate that's what it's all about. It's about keeping the lights on. And if you got to help your neighbor, you know, in the middle of the night or after the hurricane's gone through, then that's just what people do. Let me give you a special memory for me. And this is more of a personal nature. The year that I was chair, it was in 2009. Mm-hmm. The meeting was in Las Vegas. And yep. we had a great meeting. And you know, people love going to Las Vegas, or a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And I have two daughters, and at that time they were both kind of college age. But they went to go to Vegas. They didn't go because of dad, you know, just to dad and watch him do his thing. They were going to hang out. Well, we sort of halfway forced them to, hey, let's go listen to dad do his keynote speech. And through that process that day of that keynote speech, and I don't even remember who the keynote speaker was that day. I'm sure you've got a list somewhere that you pull that back up. Mm-hmm. But after that general session, you know, and then we got home, my wife, Yvette, just said, hey, you need to talk to Caitlin. You know, and having college age girls, and you need to talk to mm-hmm. And that's all kind of bells and whistles go off. But whoever that keynote speaker was during that day struck a you know, a nerve, or let the light went off over her head and ended up picking a career path based on what she heard that day from that keynote speaker. She ended up going through and getting a civil engineering degree and, you know, doing some things in the engineering field. But it was because of her sitting and listening, not to dad, because dad doesn't have anything you know, that's, you know, that earth shattering for teenage daughters, but hearing those speakers and kind of the things clicking together. And then, so, you know, she's now working for a civil engineering firm and enjoying it. And, you know, it's got a fulfilling career. So that, you know, that's one of my many memories, as you said, of being involved in this organization. But that's one of the personal ones for me.
And Rusty, I'm glad you referenced that, because, you know, I remember the girls when they were growing up, and I guess I can say that's a personal memory. How the number of families that I've actually watched grow and go on, like your daughters and everything else, that's been fantastic for me. I mean, and thank you for sharing that. I remember it well.
Well, so we've talked about a lot of things, Carnell. There's so much going on at UTC, the good stuff, the programs, the conferences, you know, the committees, the one-on-ones and all that. So we've tried to touch base on most all of those. What's something maybe before we close out this episode of The Intersection, what's one thing maybe we've missed or you want to add before we close out?
Rusty, before we close out, I'd like to talk about our staff. I want to talk about the stellar people that we have at every position at the association. And since we're talking membership and privileges and everything, I want to talk a little bit about the membership department, membership meetings and spectrum services department, and highlight the good work that Joanne and her team is doing on the spectrum services side, and Denise and bringing a high level of membership and marketing to the association. Cynthia focusing on education and enhancing what our offerings in the education space. Christy moving the meter on our sales efforts. And then Kelly, who I know many of folks know, she's been around the association, but to have her on staff now and bring that level of meeting planning to the association just makes us a better organization as we serve our members.
And there's so many people that, you know, members don't see. You were talking about yourself. Well, you weren't talking about yourself, but I'm, you know, yourself and Kelly Moran and some of these people that are kind of more member facing, you know, they know those names and know those faces, but there's a lot of other people, as every organization has, to take care of the bills and, you know, just help with the planning and, you know, all the things, just, you know, accounting and HR and, you know, all those kind of things that we all have. It is a very good staff. The advocacy staff we haven't really talked about, and that's going to be a topic for another podcast, but we've got three or four folks that spend their days, you know, trying to track activity going on in DC and in at the state level as well. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Outstanding staff. And if you don't know them, if you're listening and don't know them, then if you see somebody walking around in a UTC shirt in Mobile at our annual conference, make sure you introduce yourself to them. All right, Carnell. Well, thank you for being with me today. Thank you yourself personally for all you do for the organization. And for me, it's an honor now to be a part of this organization and work alongside all of those people we just described. And to everyone listening to our podcast, thank you for tuning in again for this month's podcast, The Intersection. I look forward to you joining us again next time right here at The Intersection.
Thank you for meeting us at The Intersection. For more information about the Utilities Technology Council, visit utc.org.